Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to Stynie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Friday. Finally here, Stynie is not. Whitey in for Stynie, 95.7 The Game. Thrilled to be back with Guru and Dibs. Thrilled to have Dan Dibley back. Fingers crossed. Hey, Dibs, what's up?
Yeah, just a quick Uber Eats run. You know, I'm trying to make ends meet, so I had to, had a couple calls. Ribs for one guy and tacos for another. And I apologize to all the listeners, but sometimes duty calls.
Yeah, well, we're getting ready, of course, for the Seahawks and the 49ers. Getting ready for Election Day, Halloween, full moon. Tomorrow night, we're going full Warren Moon. Nice enough to join us here on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. As you know, one of the most prolific passers in NFL history, currently a Seahawk analyst, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Warren Moon with us. Warren, not only will the Seahawks be missing fans, they're going to be missing players. How banged up are your Seahawks right now, sir?
Yeah, it hasn't been a good little stretch for the Seahawks team recently, but hopefully they'll get some of those guys back. They just traded for Carlos Dunlap the other day, but he probably won't be available to play this weekend. Jamal Adams, there's still a question whether he's going to play or not, but he'd be a big addition back into the lineup. So they could possibly get some guys back in there, but they definitely won't be at full strength. But neither is the San Francisco 49ers at this time in the season. So everybody's a little banged up after you've gone through six games into a season, and it's all about who's the survival of the fittest.
What's it like, Warren, when you're mostly the engine for the entire team, like in your days in Houston and the run and shoot where the defense would give up 30 and you knew you had to have 35?
Well, I mean, you just had to go out there and get it done. And you also went into the game believing that your defense had a good plan and they were going to play better that week. So I just think you have to have a lot of confidence in your team. You have to have a lot of confidence in your preparation. And then you go out there in the field and you try and get it done. And on the offensive side, you just try and score every time you have the football. That should be your mindset, whether your defense is playing well or not. Even if they're playing lights-out defense, you still want to go out there and score every time you have the football. So that's kind of the mindset you have to go into the game with.
Warren, I'm curious to get your assessment of Jimmy Garoppolo because the fan base here is split, 50-50. And here's a guy that took his team to a Super Bowl. Some say he doesn't throw a tight spiral like you used to do. What do you see when you see Jimmy Garoppolo at the quarterback position?
You know, I see a guy who's he's got really good footwork. I see a guy with a very quick release, and is pretty accurate with his throws, especially on the shorter throws. But definitely could throw a better deep ball, and they don't ask him to throw a lot of intermediate routes. So I don't know if that's something that they just don't feel like he's good at. That's why they don't call a lot of those. But he's definitely a good quarterback. Whenever you take a team to a Super Bowl, no matter who you are, you've got to be pretty good. And he did have some really good stretches of games last year. You know, when he went on the road against New Orleans and had to keep bringing them back from behind with his arm, he did it. But I just don't think he's one of those guys you can count on week in and week out if you have to win a football game in a passing duel that he's going to be the guy that does it, because their philosophy with the 49ers is running the football, and Jimmy is just a compliment to that.
The great Warren Moon with us here on 95.7 The Game. I just want to share this on the text line from the 408. Warren Moon is awesome. He came to a group home I was in as a kid. He played football with us. I caught a touchdown pass from him. Super cool guy. So thank you for that. Wanted to share that with you, Warren. Also want to ask you, Russell Wilson, I mean, you obviously have a unique perspective on playing the quarterback position. How has he gotten better this year? What has he done to actually even get better? And Warren, under the rules that we have now, how many yards would you throw for in a season?
We don't even want to get into that conversation.
Yes,
because
<we do. laughs>
there'd be a lot of records broken if a lot of the guys that played during my era, whether it was Dan Marino or John Elway or myself, you can go on and on. But Russell is a guy that's worked extremely hard this offseason to get ready for this year. I think he knew subconsciously that more was going to be asked of him in the offense as it has been in previous years, because this has been more of a defensive and running game-oriented team over the first probably 6 years of his career. But over the last couple of years, they've kind of opened up the reins a little bit more, and Russell's thrown the football a little bit more. And he's really developed a great relationship with DK Metcalf, who he spent a lot of time with this offseason and also the offseason before his rookie year. So he's made a lot of progress because he's had this relationship with Russell. And then, of course, Tyler Lockett and he have had a great relationship over the last 3 or 4 years. So I think Brian Schottenheimer, their offensive coordinator, has a real good feel for what Russell does best, and that's what he's incorporated into this offense, and they've become a lot more aggressive because of that.
And Brian loves to run the ball, as all Schottenheimers do, and Shanahans alike. How do they account for that, knowing that they're down to their fourth or fifth back, and maybe they're scanning through the Rolodex for Marshawn Lynch again?
Yeah, they're still going to try and run the ball as much as they can, given the healthy bodies that they might have for the football game. That's still Pete Carroll's philosophy. He wants to be able to run the football. He wants to be able to play good defense. But they haven't been able to play that defense that they want to play this year just because they haven't had a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That's been the biggest problem with their defense is when you're playing a lot of zone and people know it, you've got to get pressure on the quarterback in order to make that zone work, because your job is to let them catch the football in front of you, but rally to the football and make tackles. And when you don't have a lot of pressure, quarterbacks can sit back there and kind of, you know, pick where they want to go with the football. But we're going to have to get back to running the ball a little bit more, I think, to protect our defense. If we can be effective running the football, regardless of who's back there, that keeps other teams off the field. That keeps the clock moving. That keeps you in control of the time of possession, and that's what needs to happen for this defense to be able to play the way they want to play, be fresh, come on the field, not have to play as many snaps as they've played in previous games.
Hey, Warren, I'd like to pick your brain to see what went through it after Arizona kicked that game-winning field goal in overtime, because Russell was phenomenal early on, made some great throws. I'm watching with my family, telling my sons, look at Russ cook. Then I saw some questionable interceptions. And then Metcalf, who I call a young T.O., Warren, only had 2 receptions. How did that happen?
Well, one, you know, whenever you go into a game and you have a top receiver, most defensive coordinators are going to try and take that guy out of the game. And that's what a good defensive coordinator is going to do, is take away your best weapon and make you beat them with something else. So they put Patrick Peterson on him most of the game, and a lot of times he was double covered. And so that's why Russell went to Tyler Lockett, you know, 15 catches for 200 yards. So if you're going to take one guy out of the game, you can't stop everybody. And Arizona was not able to stop Tyler Lockett, but the defense wasn't able to make the plays they needed to make either. And, you know, Russell did have some uncharacteristic turnovers. And whenever you have a division game, it doesn't matter who you're playing against. It doesn't matter what the records are. Those games are going to be tough to win, and if you let a team in your division hang around long enough, they'll somehow find a way to beat you. So, and that's what the Seahawks did the other night. They had two touchdown leads 3 different times in the ball game, but they always let Arizona creep back into the game and make it a one-score ball game, and the next thing you know, they get beaten overtime.
Warren Moon with us on 95.7 The Game. Two for you here quickly, Warren. One, you just touched on a part of this. What did Arizona do to beat Seattle that you think the 49ers might be able to duplicate? And then secondly, the record for passing yards in a season, Peyton Manning at 5,477. You're playing today in the run and shoot. You think you'd go for 8?
I would like to think so. You know, again,
yeah.
Philosophy, every time I go out in the field, I want to try and score. But I think Robert Saleh, their defensive coordinator, he's not a guy that likes to bring a lot of pressure. They like to play a lot of zone and let their front four get to the quarterback. But I think if they looked at the tape of that Arizona game, they saw that Arizona got a lot of pressure on Russell and made him throw some bad throws and a couple of turnovers. So I think – he's going to maybe use and pick his spots and when he's going to bring pressure against Russell. That's one of the ways that Arizona had some success against him, because their offensive line didn't handle it very well. So that's something I would expect to see a little bit more this weekend by the 49ers defense, a little bit more pressure to try and get the ball out of Russell's hand a little bit quicker, or maybe force him into making a mistake.
Warren, I got to ask you this. I keep telling the fellas that Kyle Shanahan, the way he's calling offense is incredible. You've seen a lot more football than I. You played. Have you seen a team utilize the passes behind the line of scrimmage, the jet sweeps? Why hasn't anybody stopped that or had success stopping that? To me, because I don't see it when I watch all these NFL games, and I'm giving Kyle credit for being creative.
Well, I think Kyle's taking advantage of his personnel. You know, Deebo Samuel isn't like a normal receiver. I mean, he's almost like a running back playing receiver. So when he gets those jet sweeps, it's like having a running back coming out of that backfield the way he runs. He runs with a lot of aggression. He runs over people. He breaks tackles. And the other young receiver, Ayuk, is the same way. They're almost carbon copies of each other, the way they're built and the way they run the football. So Kyle's taking advantage of their abilities, and it's almost like just having another facet of their running game coming out of their wide receiver position. So you've got your running backs, and because they've been banged up at the running back position with a couple of those guys injured, now you're just taking advantage of your personnel and saying, okay, let's put the ball in our wide receivers' hands who run like running backs and hopefully get the same results.
The great Warren Moon. Warren, I know I kind of put you on the spot there talking about yardage, but we appreciate your insights and your time very much. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy the game, sir. Have a great call.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a great weekend.
Warren Moon, all guests on 95.7 appear on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. To find a dealer near you, go to BayAreaChevroletDealers.com. There's no question that in today's game, Warren Moon, and to his point, there are other quarterbacks about whom you could say the same, would shatter Peyton Manning's single-season passing yardage record.
Especially the offenses. Yeah. And, you know, think about that at the time, Goo, when they went, you know, K-gun, they went hurry up all the time, that spread five wide all the time, Warren Moon getting out of the edge. Imagine it with today with, you know, the receivers, you can't really get touched after 5 yards. God forbid you try to break up a pass, or don't even think about laying a hit on somebody who's trying to catch the football. You got to let him catch it and try to jar it free, or, you know, gently massage him to the ground.
I saw as a young kid, Whitey and Dibs, Doug Williams be the first black quarterback to win the Super Bowl. And I always rooted for Warren Moon, and it took everything in me to not ask him what happened in that Buffalo playoff game. I mean, they were up 100 points. What happened?
I'll never
forget that. Frank with the backup, Whitey.
Yeah.
You know what, Goo, I'm glad you brought that up, and not that we want to spend a lot of time talking about this. Right. I've talked to Warren Moon about this, but, you know, when he came out of college, he had to go to the CFL.
It wasn't
that long ago. It's like, I want to be a quarterback. Well, not here. He had to go to the Canadian Football League to play quarterback and show, you know what, I'm pretty good, before he finally got to show what he could do in the National Football League. And, boy, did he ever. I think the most significant thing that he said there was talking about, and we've touched on it too, yeah, Robert Saleh may have opportunities to shut down Russ with the blitz. Because that's what Arizona had some success with. Also, we've talked about the fact that Seattle, their blitz protection may be compromised. I still think that could be one of the real keys to this game.
Yeah, it's about mixing the blitzes for me, Goo. Just figuring out a way to bring different people at different times in different situations, not just your cookie cutter, 3rd and 8, okay, now we're coming to get you. But, you know, maybe it's 1st and 10, and you send a run blitz. You send two guys in the edge just to get 6 to the point of attack, or maybe it's 3rd and 2 or you bring the safety. I think you have to vary the looks, and that's what Arizona did to such success.
Yeah, because you know what? I think of the running quarterbacks that, you know, the kryptonite is the blitz, and I'm not saying Lamar Jackson has not mastered it, but we see what teams do differently in the playoffs and the Michael Vicks. But I'm a Star Wars guy, Whitey, and you're talking about Russell Wilson, who is a Jedi. He's Yoda. And I think he's at home, and he's comfortable when they blitz. So my point is, his computer just processes it differently, and it's almost like he's ready for the blitz. So I just tell Saleh, you know, proceed with caution and be careful, because guys like Russell Wilson, they'll eat you for lunch if you're blitzing and you're not doing it to where you're disguising it, and then I see Lockett over the top, or I'm having nightmares, or DK Metcalf,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I could see it going that way, and then hopefully it doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah, it's tricky, to your point, Dibs, because we know the 49ers have blitzed a lot more often this year, and I believe, I have to check the numbers, I think they blitz quite a bit on third down. So I know it's a great point you raised. You
right.
want to mix it up, but they've been blitzing a lot on third down. Mixed results. So how successfully they're able to blitz could be a key to this game. But Lando Calrissian, are you going to be watching the Mandalorian this weekend?
I cannot wait. I cannot wait, man. And my kids, they don't like it. I tried to pass it down. They don't like it.
They're not in on Baby Yoda in the whole story?
No, they're not in. No, it is just phenomenal, man.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I can't wait, yeah.
Yeah, dropping on Disney Plus. Yeah, shout out Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking to me, Lando Calrissian, because that's also right. my favorite character.
Princess Leia and him had something, man. You know,
yeah. yeah, the uncut scenes that were never seen.
Yeah,
that was the R version.
She had a soft spot for Orlando. You know,
I only called you that because you shared with us yesterday that was your favorite
right.
costume. That,
no,
that,
fair.
That
it was inbounds. Yeah. He got both feet inbounds. It was a toe drag.
That is
because you know, being a guy like. You know, being a guy named Whitey, you got to make sure you get both feet in on that.
Absolutely.
Those are facts.
Yeah. Whitey, I got to say something to you, man. I always thought, because we're buddies, we're boys, I love your radio game, and when I'm not on the show with you, I feel like I'm on the show with you. So that's the ultimate compliment. But I always felt like, what if I took Whitey to the barbershop and walked in and just introduced, this is my man Whitey. I mean, they still would love you because you're with me, but you know.
I can have it here for you.
We might have to say Michael, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can tell you stories. We'll have to, things like that have actually happened here.
Whoa!
There, so, yeah,
we'll, don't talk about that.
That
classic
for another show. Yeah.
Hello.
Here's the problem for Seattle. The way they're playing right now, and it was interesting. It sounded like Warren Moon kind of left the door open that some of their better defender players could be back. Defensive players could be back this week. We'll see. But their defense has been so compromised that Russell Wilson has to almost be perfect. Almost. He has to almost be perfect, and then they win the game at the end. That's been their formula for success so far. And I know, Dibs, you have pointed out repeatedly, and you're 100% right. Hey, 5-1 is 5-1.
Right.
But that's how they've been winning games this year. The defense, they have gotten a few big plays here and there from their defense. You saw the Minnesota stop to win that game. They stopped Cam to win that game. So they've come up with a few big plays here and there, but the defense has not been good. So Russ has had to do it all. Then they barely win. So my point is, when Russ isn't perfect, as we saw last week, it's not a sustainable formula.
Right.
And you can't win a game that way week after week.
But can you win this game that way?
Wow.
And that's ultimately what it comes down to against a 49er offense that is hampered. They're without a couple of their top guns, and also it's a little bit hamstrung based on what Goo was saying about Shanahan maybe not opening the full playbook because it's Jimmy Garoppolo. So a Seattle defense maybe not as vulnerable unless Kyle says, you know what, let's go out, let's let it rip. Let's let Jimmy cut it loose, 40 throws. We're going to open it up. We're going to protect. We're going to get guys open. We're going to throw it and try to outgun Seattle. I don't see that happening. So if you're Seattle, it's another one of those games where stay close, execute, put it in Russ's hand under 4 minutes and see who wins it.
Yeah, and I know we're in a business, fellas, with egos and, you know, everybody trying to be perfect. But, Whitey, I'm not one of these guys that if I hear somebody make an astute assessment that I don't give them credit. And I got to share this with you. The other night I heard Colin Cowherd say and compare Russell Wilson and what Seattle's doing offensively to James Harden. Like, too much is on his shoulders. And I spit my water out. Like, that was spot on. I didn't have to TMI. But that's spot on because it's going that direction. Everything is on his shoulder, Dibs. And at the end of the day, you know this. Nobody's perfect, but they're putting too much on him. Warren said they had double-digit leads on Arizona 3 times, and the defense gave it up. So I'm just saying that to say the Niners, I know Jimmy's not Kyler Murray, but they got action.
You know, it could come down to this, too. If you get down to the basics of this game, I think we discussed this. We know that the 49ers, big believers in Yak, Kyle Shanahan, has instilled that mentality in his skill position players. Catch the ball, and then you punish the defense. And Belichick talked about this last week. He talked about their offense. He said, I don't do Belichick like Guru does, but he said, yeah, all the guys that they give the ball to are pretty hard to tackle. I think they led the league last year in broken tackles and were pretty high up there in yards after catch or yards after contact. Whoever has the ball is hard to tackle, starting with Kittle. But all the running backs, the receivers, they do a good job with the ball in their hands and they get yardage on their own. And that has been another issue for the Seattle defense. They don't get to the quarterback, they don't defend the pass, and last week they didn't tackle well. So that could be another key to victory for the 49ers this week against Seattle.
Could be, and ultimately execution is at the forefront of everything you do, no matter if it's offense or defense. And these games that are close, Goo, you know, 8 plays, 6 plays, 10 plays, that will decide it, whether or not it's a tip ball that you get or a fumble on a punt return you don't get. A lot of times these toss-up games, and especially with Seattle not having the 12th man, so they won't have to go silent count, they'll be able to do their normal cadence and not be drowned out. That's a huge factor in this game, and you heard George Kittle talk about it earlier in the week about the ability to just go up there and set up shop, basically, and not have to worry about going silent. So all those intangibles, I think, favor a team like the Niners in a toss-up game.
Now, Waddy, I need your help, both of you. Kyle gave us that great stat about Debo, who won't be playing this Sunday. Dibs, I don't know if you heard it, but down the field, I believe he's 4 for 10. Jimmy trying to get him the ball down the field
let's
as opposed
to
just
– Let's go back to it if we could, okay. Drew. I'm sorry. Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Madsen, right.
Kyle's stat of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I was cutting sound, and I didn't have the stat exactly ready.
You're
I think
good,
off the
baby.
Top of my head, Debo Samuel targeted 12 times. He had 12 catches for 150 yards and a touchdown behind the line of scrimmage. I believe beyond the line of scrimmage, any distance beyond the line of scrimmage, it was 10 targets, 4 catches, 35 yards, and an interception when Jimmy Garoppolo targets Samuel beyond the line of scrimmage.
And what awesome, Kyle. Well done, and where well I was done, going, yeah. Fellas, is hearing Warren in his voice fluctuate like he's like a running back. But I guess what I'm saying is if he's not Jerry Rice down the field and he won't be playing the next 2 games, I'm just thinking to myself, are we putting Debo in a position to get injured because he runs so violent?
Of course. And that's the nature of the way you play. And that's, you know, props to T.O., who you always talk about, DK
him.
Metcalf as a baby T.O. If you play physically, if you seek contact, you're going to be more likely to get hurt, and that's the situation with Debo. Debo's not a guy who shies away from it or tiptoes out of bounds or, you know, looks to get down, and that's going to be part of the calculus in how great he is. You can't be one of the yak boys yards after contact without getting contact.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Guru. What do you think of this? I thought of that last night watching – you know, everybody in the country was watching the Falcons and the Panthers. But, you know, Julio Jones is, when he was 100% healthy, I don't know that I've ever seen a receiver quite that dominant. There have been Jerry Rice is great.
Yeah,
but in some ways, like, no one's ever done what he's done. And he's not as healthy now. And he's still, you know, you still love to have him. But that was one of the things I wondered about. Was it playing in that Shanahan system maybe took a toll on him? And I'm not saying, if it did, I'm not saying, wow, they shouldn't do that. But it is something to keep in mind here as we look at these 49er receivers going forward.
Yeah, and I'm a Debo fan. I guess where I'm going, Dibs, is what Whitey just said. Do you kind of keep him out of harm's way? Because he's not both when you say, oh, he's a receiver and running back. No, you're doing one thing, and he's getting his carries, and he's making the defense pay with those, you know, brutalizing hits. But if you're telling me he's going to be out 2 games moving forward, it's almost like, Whitey, I'd rather throw you a 15-yard post, you get tackled, and live another game, as opposed to you running over people doing your Earl Campbell, shout-out to Super Dave, you remember him, Showtime, and then you miss 2 games. You know what I mean? Yeah, rest RIP.
RIP, Super Dave. I disagree, Goo,
Super
because
Dave
ultimately
Osborne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super Dave Osborne, yeah. That was a great throwback reference to the early Showtime days right there. Gary Shandling show, another one up there as well, before the Larry Sanders. But, Goo, I think ultimately you have to be the player you were born to be, and he is not, you know, a guy who's going to go down there and run routes and catch it and get down. He's a physical player. He's a guy who, when the ball's in his hands, he's going to get you yards. And if that means jet sweeps or tosses as a tailback – or quick throws in between the hash marks. That's who he is. You can't shy away from that.
Dibs, I wanted to ask you a question that Guru and I were discussing last hour, and you were, you know, busy with Uber Eats, and you weren't able to weigh in. And just quickly circling back to Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, tomorrow's the anniversary of the trade, the second-round pick to New England for Jimmy Garoppolo on Halloween. Tomorrow, the third-year anniversary of that. And we were debating, discussing whether he's, quote-unquote, injury-prone. And I said, I don't really think that's fair at this point. Yeah, he's been hurt a couple of times. The injury this year, of course, he got hurt. And Goo, not to speak for you, but I think Goo said, I'm not sure yet. I haven't made up my mind on that. So when we're looking at Jimmy Garoppolo's 3 years as a 49er quarterback, injury-prone, is that a label that's fair to attach to him?
Well, I think it's a scale. It's a sliding scale from Iron Man on the one side, guys who started, you know, all 16 year in and year out. Your Brett Favre's, guys who just made every start. And then you've got the brittle babies on the other end, guy where, ooh, it's a hammy, that's 2 weeks. And, you know, bone spurs, that's going to be three. And good old plantar fasciitis, that's going to cost you two. So Sam Bradford, unfairly maybe, and I know his injuries were far worse than that, but he's on that brittle scale. So if you're sliding Jimmy G, I think right now he's dead in the middle. He's one injury away from sliding toward the brittle city. Brittle City, baby. I know Dick Vitale was on with DRK earlier in the week, but
nice.
If he stacks, Goof, he can stack two, three seasons. All of a sudden, now he moves in the other direction. So I'm with you, but I think it's a sliding scale.
Yeah, that's the awesome other one. Aspect of that, Dibs, is Guru pointed out that, you know, Jimmy G, we've seen it a couple times this year, the Rams game in particular, and I think we saw it last week too, where he, you know, there's no receiver open and he tucks it under and he picks up, you know, 4 or 5 yards for first down and kind of lowers his shoulder. And I kind of like that mentality. Guru doesn't like that at all from a guy who some are saying is one injury away from being injury prone.
Right, but you got to go in there and you got to make a play, Goo. You got to go up and finish at the rim. You've got to, you know, try to break up the double play or take out the catcher if need be. In that moment as an athlete, and I know you do this at the 24-hour when you're out there playing, and it's 9-9, game to 10, not win by 2. It's game point. You're putting it all on the line. You're going for the victory.
Yeah, but I guess what would the naysayers be saying had he got hurt on that play where he was trying to demonstrate his toughness? I don't need my quarterback to do that. That's not his role. We got Kittle, we got Debo. Why he would have caught holy hell had something happened to that shoulder and he were to miss time or be out for the season. We would have questioned his decision making. And I love Jimmy for doing it, but you were putting your team and the season in harm's way because it's proven that Beathard nor Mullins can be you. So at the end of the day, mesmerize me, Jimmy, with your touchdowns and your first downs. I don't need you trying to be John Wayne, because I mean, you could have got bit in the ass and this Niner season could have went the other way, and that's the bad way, Whitey.
Yeah, does he mesmerize you when he flips it up in the air and Debo or Ayuk comes around, grabs it, runs for 38 yards? Just Jimmy,
oh, whoop, and what a throw!
He mesmerized me when he's at his post game conference and the gel's in the hair with the cheekbones and the beard, and my wife's looking at me like I'm Professor Clump. That's what he mesmerized.
Porn star, Jimmy.
Yeah. Jimmy's a good looking dude, man. No matter
what. Guru getting one upped at home in a post game on the TV.
Oh, it's
screen.
Bad.
I have a wife.
Yeah. Dibs, it comes down to risk reward, maybe. All right, Jimmy, if you're going to do that, if you're going to tuck it under, lower your shoulder, maybe fourth quarter where we need a first down to keep the ball.
Yeah.
And win the game, maybe then. But maybe early in the game, maybe that's, you know, maybe you don't think that way. Huh?
Right.
Is that and the way we coach him up?
It's tough to coach any athlete that way. I mean, I'm talking to you, Whitey, a guy who ran a fellow media member into the goalpost in a media flag football tournament in the opening round. I mean, you were willing to jeopardize another person's livelihood over a flag football glory, and we're going to tell Jimmy G, yeah, go ahead and slide, Jimmy. You're in the NFL, but me, Whitey Gleason, I'm willing to damage this guy's torso for a victory in some flag football event.
Yeah, I think it was round two, but we did
win.
Oh,
my bad.
And it was once I had it in my mind that, hey, I wonder if I can run him in the goalpost. It's like I had to try it. It's like, I think I can do that. But you're right.
Survive in advance. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to see if you guys are up for something here, and I know I'm throwing this at you here. We don't have all our ducks in a row, but especially as we get ready for this game this week, Guru against Dibs, little what I call NFL Factor Fantasy.
It's my favorite game.
Wow.
All right.
My favorite game.
throw a couple of prospects at you, and you guys you can debate. And in fact, we can let the listener decide at 888-957-9570 who has the better arguments. And here's the thing, Guru, you can agree with Dibs or disagree. It doesn't matter about that. It's just a matter of, you know, who makes the better points, I think, is what our judges hopefully will be looking at. NFL fact or fantasy. Can you go first, Dibs, just to give Guru an opportunity to see how it all works?
Whitey, I'd love to. Do we have the usual audio accoutrements at the ready?
Well, I think we might, which is stunning because I actually didn't ask anybody if they had any of those. We'll see if we
I'm
have
actually
them.
Undefeated. Whitey, I beat Steiny in this. Yeah, but go ahead.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Last week.
You're the people's champ, Goo. You're the people's champ. Kyle, what do you have?
I was just going to say, Joe Spadoni is always ready. Spadoni, actually Italian for ready.
All right. Excellent.
I thought it was for ice cream, but I had
all right.
Wrong.
So, yeah. listen to the arguments here, and you can determine who wins NFL Factor Fantasy. It's a great debate here. All right. And you're both going to get the same questions, Guru. So, Dibs, the single most important thing the 49ers need to accomplish Sunday is to keep Russ from beating them with his legs. NFL Factor Fantasy.
That's a fact, Kev. That's a fact, Jack. It's really important that they neutralize he as a runner, because without him running the ball, the Seattle Seahawks won't be able to run the ball. I think that their run game will be neutralized by the general defense. Fred Warner, such a great tackler, and this defense really good against the run. So Russ is the only threat in the ground game that scares me at all, Whitey.
All right, over to you, Guru. Guru, the single most important thing the 49ers need to accomplish Sunday is to keep Russ from beating them with his legs. NFL fact or fantasy?
That is fantasy, and let me tell you why. You can't have it all. And Russell can tap into his worn moon and beat you in the air with his trio of receivers. So to me, with the Niners and the injuries they have and the lack of pressure, I'd rather lose to Russell's legs than Russell in the air. Because if Russell puts this ball in the air like I kind of vision it, and this Niners secondary is not ready, this thing could get ugly. And when I say ugly, I'll end it with this, my man. 40 to 45 points with Woo-hoo. Him throwing the ball as opposed to him running on the ground.
All right. All 40 right,
to 45? Yeah. My man.
You determine the winner here, 888-957-9570. We will have a winner probably when we come back and get ready to talk to we're actually going to do some football picks. So anyway, you're the judges here, 888-957-9570 on the text line. Speaking of footballs in the air, Guru, Jimmy G will have to take and make some downfield shots in order to beat Seattle. NFL Factor Fantasy.
It is a fact, and I think Pete Carroll and what's left of that Seattle defense know this. And the fact that Debo, Mr. Jet Screen himself, is not there, Brandon Ayuk, along with Kittle, who I think is going to have a big game. I don't want to give too much too soon. But Jimmy Garoppolo will have to show another side to his game, and we'll see the ball, the pigskin, traveling downfield, and he'll make sweet music with his wide receivers. That is fact.
All right. Dan Dibley, Jimmy G's going to have to take and make some downfield shots in order to beat Seattle. NFL fact or fantasy?
That's a fantasy, Whitey. It's just a fantasy. It's not true, Whitey, because ultimately you run the ball, you possess the ball, you matriculate the ball down the field, culminating in touchdowns. You put the onus on Wilson to make plays. You don't need to throw it up and down. Get the lead, keep the lead, secure the lead, win the game, Whitey. That's how it gets done.
By the way, do you want to know what the score is, Dibs, or you just want to plow ahead and not be encumbered by how the judge is going so far?
Yeah. I'm going to take an ostrich approach to this, Whitey. I'm going to put my head in the sand. Let's keep going forward.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here, Dibs. If the 49ers win Sunday, all four NFC West teams will end up in the playoffs. NFL Factor Fantasy.
It's a fact, Whitey. And in fact, I had that nugget for you on the now-defunct Kozlow and Dibs show, which followed, of course, Jolo and Dibs, which preceded the morning roast. But that's neither here nor is it there. I had it first. I said Four teams from the West would make the playoffs, and the champion, quote-unquote, of the NFC East would have a losing record.
So you just your yapper.
Oh, I missed that guy.
Guru, if the 49ers win Sunday, all four NFC West teams will end up in the playoffs. NFL fact or fantasy?
It's a fantasy. I want to say it's a fact, Jack, but it's not, because I'm looking at Chicago. I'm looking at other teams in the NFC standings, and it's never happened. It won't happen, and it'll be a great win for the Niners, but Chicago's standing in the way of that great story. So are the New Orleans Saints, and I just think that's fantasy.
By the way, don't you think that the Bears are going to have to go back to Trubisky? Right? I mean, they went Trubisky to Foles, and
it's
Foles
real.
Or is it Nagy?
Or is it Nagy? Your boy Foles, real quick here, Whitey, he has a ring. He can he let you know under the tutelage of Peterson he can get it done. I think it's Nagy. But not going to change. Yeah,
he's giving up perhaps play calling duties. One more here. We'll wrap it up. Final question. Let's see. Guru. The best team the 49ers will play in this seven-game death march is Buffalo. NFL fact or fantasy?
That is fantasy. And shout out to, you know, the hot wings around the country. But Buffalo by far is not the best team the Niners have faced. That will be the Los Angeles Rams. So it is not Buffalo. And Buffalo's lost its groove. They've been slipping a little bit. They barely beat the Jets, or they handled the Jets, but it was close. That is fantasy.
All right. So, Dibs, this wraps it up. This is your last chance, your closing argument. The best team the 49ers will play in this seven-game death march is Buffalo. NFL fact or fantasy?
Yeah, it's a fact, Whitey. It's the nature of the team. They are somewhat of a mirror image of the 49ers. They want to possess it. They want to run it. They want to smack you in the mouth. Styles make fights, and in this case, the 49ers being a little bit injured and a little bit beleaguered in that matchup, I don't like it. I think Buffalo is designed to beat a team like the 49ers. That is, in fact, the toughest game. Tell me what I've won, Whitey.
We don't know yet.
Oh, he's foul mouthed.
Thank you both. Yeah. That was educational and inspirational. 888-957-9570. Who made the better arguments today, Dan Dibley or Guru? Let us know what you think. 888-957-9570. We'll have a winner coming up. Also, we will get you all set for the Wild Football Weekend with a Halloween edition of Mad Props. And that'll be brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options, along with free pickup and delivery. Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Order.
That hurt your boy.
Right. Well, the scariest thing about that movie, that's like, this movie's really creepy, and it's like, but then at the end, was it Amy Irving's having the nightmare where the arm comes up at the very end? It's like, good night now.
No, stop it, Whitey. You're scaring me.
That's the one. All right. Yeah. Happy Halloween to you and yours, and to Kyle Madsen, who joins us now with a Halloween edition, which is going to be very much like the usual editions, I think, of Mad Props.
Yeah, it's going to be exactly the same. No difference in this Halloween edition,
okay.
Whitey.
Yeah. All right.
We'll start with Jimmy Garoppolo, as we always do. We know the Seahawks' pass defense is not very good. Jimmy Garoppolo is in his last two games averaging 272.5 yards per game, Seattle allowing 368.7 passing yards per game. That is worst in the NFL. I've got Jimmy Garoppolo at 285.5 passing yards. Dibs, we'll start with you. Is he over or under that number?
Man, he's under that number. That's a little bit too bloated. That's after a long night of IPAs and pizza. You wake up, it's like, damn. The scale says one thing, but the gut says another. That's too bloated. I'm going under. He's going to be in that 250 to 260 range, and I'm not quite willing to liquidate, but I feel pretty good about this one.
Whitey.
Yeah, he's going to be under. They're not going to need him to throw for that many yards. They're going to be able to run roughshod over that porous Seattle defense. So under, but they're going to win.
Goo, finish it up.
I'm liquidating all assets if I can, Kyle. This is the New Orleans games from last year over.
Oh, you're liquidating all assets on the over. So you think that
counts
even
for
minus
two, Whitey.
You think that even minus Debo Samuel, he's going to be able to throw?
Oh, no doubt. Kittle and Ayuk could be enough.
Yep. Liquidate and all assets.
All right, let's take a look at the running game. Jamichael Hasty has been the talk of the town here in San Francisco. I've got him at 14.5 carries, over or under. Guru, we'll start with you.
I'm going over. Who else do you got? Maybe Tevin Coleman? McKinnon? He ain't Olivia Newton-John, the physicality, so I'm going over.
Dibs.
I'm going under 14.5. It's a great number, Kyle, this. And I got to commend you for it because he's going to be right in there. The formula for winning is 30 or more, which means 12, and then, you know, Tevin's going to get about 10 to 12. Jamichael or McKinnon's going to get 8 to 10, some receiver carries. I like the under here, Kyle.
Why do you finish it up?
Yeah, I like the over for some of the same reasons, actually, that Dibs mentioned. You got to carry the ball at least 30 times to win the game. We know the 49ers, that's their philosophy. And so you just do the math. Somebody's got to carry it 15 or more times. It's going to be Jamichael Hasty.
Let's talk about Jerick McKinnon then, somebody that the Dibs just brought up. He's gone over 7.5 touches 3 times. He's had 2 games with over 14 rushes by himself. So I've got Jerick McKinnon, 7.5 touches. That's receptions and runs. Guru.
Under. He's just kind of fell out of favor. I don't know what's going on, but the lack of touches will be real. I'm going under, Kyle.
Dibs.
Last stand, I think, for McKinnon. He gets over that many touches. They have to see what they have with him now. It's now or never, Johnny Mathis.
Why'd he break the tie?
I'm also going under. I think he's just plum tuckered out. Son. You know, he had so many touches and carries early coming off that surgery. I just think he's spent. Nothing against him, but he's going to go under.
Is that your Jerry Jones impression?
No, that is not. But this is my Jerry Jones impression. If I told you to shut up earlier, I'm sorry. I should not. I was not. That was not my truest best self.
Five crides. Five crides, ladies and gentlemen, for that Jerry Jones.
Jerry off. Yeah.
George Kittle, 9.5 targets. The 49ers, you guys should note, 2-4. Check that. 2-6 when George Kittle gets 10 or more targets.
Which
in his
it?
Career, it's two and six, times. Whitey. It's yes. 2-6. All right, I made a mistake. I corrected it. George Kittle, over or under 9.5 targets, Whitey.
I'm still trying to figure all this out. I can't make head or tails out. 9.5.
They lose a lot when he gets 10 targets.
Yeah, I think because they're going to run the ball so often and so effectively, I will go under 9 is going to be the number. I can see it now, 9, so
what
I'm under.
What are you guys doing?
Guru, 9.5 targets.
Over. This
under.
Is the Kittle game. No, Samuel, this is the Kittle game, y'all. Over.
Dibs.
9 times. Ferris Bueller, I like that, Whitey. 9 times. I'm also going under. 9 feels about right. It's all about Kendrick Bourne. He's going to hit you where you don't expect it, Goo. I'm going under.
All right, so Dibs will stick with you for this one then. 49ers wide receivers over or under combined 10.5 receptions. It's going to be Brandon Ayuk averaging just over 3 catches a game. Kendrick Bourne averaging just over 2 a
KB.
Game. And Trent Taylor averaging less than 1 reception a game. Do they get over that 10.5 reception mark, Dibs?
Yeah, they do. They do, Kyle. And they're going to do it by any means necessary. They're going to get some of those Ayukian flips that Debo normally gets. Some little tiny pops to Trent Taylor. I'm going over in the receivers here because Jimmy G is going to have to open it up.
Whitey.
Yes, I agree. I'm going over. Flips are the key. Not going to take a lot of shots downfield, but ultimately when those count as passes, we will go over the 10.5.
Is it a sweep for the over, Goo?
Over. This is the worst defense in the league.
Yeah.
Over. 49ers defense, over or under 1.5 sacks. The Seahawks have allowed 17 sacks. The 49ers have sacked the quarterback 12 times. Whitey, start us off.
Over. That's a 1.5?
Yeah.
Are you giving away money here at the Mets, the Kyle Casino? Yeah, that's over all the way. That's easy. They'll have 3 at halftime.
Would you like to liquidate all assets on that and make that one worth 2 for you?
If it's Steiny's money, sure, I'll liquidate all
Steiny's
assets.
Liquidate all assets.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Guru, over or under 1.5 sacks for the 49ers
defense? I'm going
under.
I'm going under. I think Russell has his way, man.
Dibs?
I, too, will liquidate all assets, but I will do so on the over because Russ is going to have to throw it a ton. With no run game, they'll be behind the sticks. Carey Hyder Jr., 3 names, 2 sacks on his own.
Oh,
I'm taking the over. Liquidate, baby.
That Seahawks defense, let's jump over to that side of the ball real quick to finish things up here. That Seahawks defense, much maligned pass rush. They have sacked opposing quarterbacks just 9 times, while the 49ers have given up 19 sacks. Guru, does the Seahawks defense get a sack on Jimmy Garoppolo?
No doubt. I'm going to liquidate all assets on that.
Again?
They're getting a sack, yeah.
Okay, Dibs.
I thought he already liquidated.
He did. He liquidated on the first one.
No, you get one in props and you get one in picks.
Come on.
You don't get two in props.
Come on, come on, people.
All your assets are already on the line.
Dibs. Over or under half a sack for the Seahawks defense?
Of course it's over. I mean, what kind of a cockamamie line is this? A half a sack.
They can't rush the passer.
Jimmy G trips over the center on a drop back, and it's a sack. I mean, come on, Kyle. You're better than this. I'm going over.
Okay. Whitey, are you also going over because the line is terrible, apparently?
I love the line. I really do. I'm
Thank
going
you.
Under.
Wow,
and
great.
Just to bring it back home on the other side, Carrie Hyder will be as scary to Russell Wilson as the movie Carrie was to a young guru.
Wow.
That's fantastic. If the Seahawks don't get a sack, Dibs, I'm coming for you.
Come for me. Come for me. And in the meantime, the Exergen temperature check is 68 degrees in Pleasant Hill.
All right. How well do the 49ers match up with this struggling Seattle defense? Some say this defense smells like a Seattle fish market on a hot June day. We will find out if that's true from former Seahawk linebacker Chad Brown. He's going to join us next, and that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.